Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Great Match Generator episode. This is 14. My bad. We are on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Go to socialsuplex.com for all your great podcasts, such as Keeping It Strong Style, One Nation Radio, and other great podcasts as well. And we're here to review a few matches for you today.
As we do on this podcast.
Yep. It's been a tumultuous few weeks. Matt, you just got done grading a lot of papers and stuff like that.
Yeah. Finished the semester up, and it's now I'm just doing a lot of housework. It's just been a busy time, and everything's opening back up a little bit as well. So there's a little more socializing going on, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, I just got back actually from socializing with friends at a park.
Nice.
So I rushed back here to record the podcast, and I was like, oh yeah, we have some great matches to do. I thought this grouping was great. Honestly, very similar matches.
Really strong grouping matches, top to bottom. We'll obviously get into the details in just a second.
Shinobu Kandori versus Bull Nakano from 7/14/94, the chain match. Then we have El Dandy versus Perat Morgan, hair versus hair, Caballero versus Caballera, as they call it in Mexico, MLL 9/23/88. Then we have Guerrero Maya Jr. versus Bearders, CMLL 10/6/2013. And then Bob Backlund versus Pat Patterson, WWF. 7/30/79. Let's start with Bob Backlund versus Pat Patterson. Backlund was over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the only match that I had actually not seen before this watching, before watching for this podcast, rather. And I loved it. I sort of have weird feelings about Bob Backlund. I always love what Bob Backlund puts into a match, and I always kind of like him as an entity and as a character, but I sometimes don't like the match as much. Backlund doesn't quite give as much often as I would want, because he's such a plucky, fiery baby face. I always want to see him do a little bit more on the comeback rather than just kind of gobbling guys up, which he can do sometimes. But here, yeah. We get a really good back and forth. I mean, he starts by controlling the match. He's dominant early on, but that gives us a sort of proper narrative grounding for Patterson to be the cheating, conniving heel and beg away when he needs to, but also take advantage when he can. And I think that gives a really, really great dynamic to this match. They just tell a great story in it.
Could we say this is the defining Patterson match, or the Slaughter match is the defining
match? I think the Slaughter match is better myself. I mean, this is a really, really good Patterson match, but I still prefer the Slaughter match by some distance.
Yeah, I prefer the Slaughter match too. But this is very good performance by Patterson. I really like heel tendencies that Patterson brings to this match, even more than the Slaughter match. But the Slaughter match is just a brawl amongst brawls in history of wrestling.
Well, Patterson's a face in the Slaughter match. He's the kind of fiery baby face in that match. So this is maybe the best like heel Patterson performance I've seen, although admittedly I'm not like a super well-versed Patterson fan. I've always liked what I've seen from his prime, but there are many gems that I'm probably missing. I would say, just sort of quickly to highlight a few things I really, really loved about this, there's this like really wonderful spot where I believe Patterson's on the outside and Backlund like drapes his arm over the rope and like falls down with it, and Patterson sells it.
Sells
like
it. Yeah, that was one I was going to point out too, because I love that.
Yeah, such an awesome selling for the cheap seats moment, which is this entire match. This entire match is made to be watched from like the balcony. I also really, really love the punch exchange when Patterson gets back in the ring from that, and he's kind of bloodied from the work on the outside. And I thought that was a moment. I talk about moments that elevate matches a lot. I think that moment really elevated this match and brought it to where it is for me. You know, you get sort of a squirrely finish in this, but it's fine. It doesn't feel cheap. It feels thought out in terms of what it gives everybody in the match, and at least watching it in a vacuum, I thought it worked really, really well. The one kind of weird complaint I had about this match is that they kept going to the near right corner over and over again. Like,
that's weird.
Like Backlund, yeah, like Backlund would keep like sort of having him outside and then like fighting him off in that corner. And it wasn't like a bad spot. It just seemed like they did it three times, I think, in the match. And I don't know. It just, the repetition of this kind of very strange area of the ring, and maybe not even complaint is the right word. It just struck me as weird. I guess it didn't necessarily hurt the match for me much, but just kind of a strange little observation. But they had a great match and really great dynamic. You see why they're both legends and why they were both kind of top of the card at the time in the late 70s.
Yeah, and Backlund gets a lot of flack for his championship run, but I thought this match was very good.
And he has
wasn't boring. This wasn't boring at all. This was 30 minutes and it flew by.
Yeah, he has quite a few good matches, I think. And Backlund is probably unfairly maligned in a lot of circles, but
yeah,
I think really highly of Backlund overall. Again, I think often I like him more as an input wrestler more than an output wrestler. I think I like what he does, but maybe the matches don't always finish quite as high for me. But he's still involved in some greats, and this is, I think, among them. I think this is a really legitimately awesome match. Totally understand why it's been nominated for the greatest match ever project, and I would definitely encourage everybody to go check this out.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody to check this out too. I had a 4.25.
I have a 4.5. I liked it that much. I think it's, but I mean, again, I'm often a kind of generous grader overall. Yeah. But I think this is easily a 4.5-star match. I think it holds up with stuff that I've marked as 4.5 from this year. I think it holds up right next to that stuff. So,
yeah, I haven't seen much 79 wrestling, but if 1979 wrestling was like this, I'd be up for it all day.
Yeah, yeah, it's the 70s are a time people should be checking out.
Up next, we have El Dandy versus Peralta Morgan. I have a lot to say about this match. This match is awesome. This match has a lot of blood spitting, a lot of gritty, cheap, just pure lucha bra-esque tropes that I just love. I watched it this morning, and the spot that gets me every time is when the ref pulls off Peralta Morgan from El Dandy, from biting El Dandy, and he just spits the blood out. I audibly just like, that spot right there just like did it for me and sold it for me. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is such a great, this is one of the first probably lucha matches I ever watched. Just as I was getting into lucha, I was like kind of listening to podcasts for the last time around the Greatest Wrestler Ever project, and a lot of people were hyping different lucha guys, and this kind of came up with El Dandy and Peralta Morgan as a match to go see, and I absolutely love it. I think it's like you said, it's a pure, it's a stakes lucha brawl, right? It's that's
kind of the form of it.
And it's hatred and it's malice. And you get a little bit of the like formula in the first two falls, but
oh yeah, with the ref and with everything. Yeah. But the third fall is just excellent with the crazy tope that El Dandy does. The tope that El Dandy does is like top five.
Yeah, it's a great, yeah, El Dandy in this period, like late 80s, early 90s, is so good. And it's so sad that like he gets remembered more for that like little WCW run and Bret Hart's passing comment about him in that interview, because Dandy in the late 80s and early 90s was so awesome. Nobody got their ass beat before the bell like El Dandy. And like just like here, like Parada jumps him. I think he's bloody in like the first couple
minutes
of the match.
2 minutes.
Yeah, and you get a pretty standard first fall is goes to Parada Morgan. Second fall is where we see the shift in momentum to Dandy, and the third fall is where we get the nice back and forth. And Parada has to be one of the best bladers ever in wrestling.
Oh my god,
he is.
That was a gusher.
He is a horror movie come to life at the end of this match, and this is probably a match that's very lucha to me, and by that I mean like there's some like the lucha pacing and some of the cooperation on the moves is not for everybody. But I think if you are a person who can kind of get in that lucha mindset or that old school lucha mindset and enjoy it, this is a fantastic match. A match that kind of sits just outside real contention for like maybe something like the greatest match ever for me, but still one that is, it's just pure lucha goodness and definitely a microcosm of how great Dandy was in this time period and how great Parada Morgan was. I mean, people talk about in the 80s Parada Morgan as a legitimate wrestler of the year, like best wrestler in the world kind of candidate. Yeah. This is, I think, just after that, or just after how, like when people think of him in that regard, but he's still great. And he's kind of in the process of shifting his style to more of the brawling. And I think he's fantastic at it. So this is pure, great hatred and violence. And if you are okay with the bloodiness and the spitting of the blood and all the stuff we know people shouldn't be doing really, but they did it. And during this time period, this match is great for you.
Yeah, this is fantastic. This is just, and I don't really care about the lucha tropes. I really don't, because it's like it's so done well. It's done well, and yeah. I was like, I used to have a whole diatribe about like, oh, I don't get lucha, blah blah blah. But now I'm like, oh, I'm in love with it. 4 3/4. This is insane.
Yeah, same 4 3/4 for me. I completely agree. It doesn't bother me at all. Like I really can get into lucha and love lucha. I do have a little bit of like, there's a disjointedness when I jump from something else to lucha sometimes.
Oh yeah, yeah. When you jump from AEW to lucha, it's like,
whoa. Yeah. Well, and I jumped from Backlund Patterson to this match. I think that's the order I watched them in, and so that was not so much of a crazy jump to me.
No, it's not a crazy jump.
Sometimes I can like, I can understand the criticisms and I try to be sympathetic to them, but I also just, I unabashedly love this stuff. It's really, really great wrestling.
Yeah. It's just done differently. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And which is not done like this anymore. It's more done like the stuff we saw in the fourth match. But the third match,
mm-hmm.
But the third match we have to get to, chain match. This is brutality at its finest. Shinobu Kandori and Bull Nakano, two of the best female wrestlers of all time, two of the best wrestlers of all time, in my opinion, just dueling it out. And I always knew Bull was awesome. Always knew. But Kandori, just another level in this match. She just fuels this ass kicking mentality, and I just this match made me fall in love with it.
Yeah, I'm really glad that people are kind of coming around on Kandori a little bit more in the last maybe year or so, and I've been. So I'll put it this way. When I recently like sort of did a big Kandori spiel of the greatest wrestler ever, because she's one of my top 10 wrestlers of all time. I think she belongs in that conversation. I think she's far too often forgotten. in amongst the other great Joshi wrestlers, and that's not taking anything away from someone like Bull or Aja, Devil, Hokuto, like all these people definitely belong in that. But for me, from the very first time I started watching Joshi, Kandori stood out. I just thought she was different. She was just great at everything she did. And even when the match wasn't an all-timer like this match is to me, Kandori always stood out, and she always elevated a match beyond what it would have been without her. So I love Kandori, and I imagine the kind of general love will ebb and flow a little bit for a while, but I'm glad that there's kind of a spike in the Kandori in the respect that people are putting on Kandori's name as of late. So this match, I think you're right, maybe one of the better examples of like a match that can really sell people on Kandori and show people, sort of highlight what she's good at and her strengths, and that's violence. I mean, she's just really good at doling it out. And to me, you know, you've got people like Bull, Kandori and Aja never had a one-on-one match that I'm aware of, but they're in a tag match against one another. But Bull is much bigger than Kandori, right? She's bigger. She's the bruiser. And I don't think there's ever a time in this match where you think Kandori is at a disadvantage because of that. Like, she just is so mean and gritty and technical at the same time. And she brings that in a chain match because there's this giant, like, probably 20-foot chain tying them together. And they are using it constantly in this. So,
oh, yeah. The chain is used constantly, mm-hmm. and I love it because it's a chain match. Use the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is it's not like they set up these contrived spots, and this is something I think we get trained by maybe a little bit more modern wrestling. We see a gimmick match, and so many of the spots are kind of contrived around that gimmick, right? The
right.
Too much setup.
This wasn't contrived. This was just brutality.
This is just an organic, like, here, we're in a fight. What would we do in a fight if there was a chain between the two of us? And that's kind of the entirety of the match. This match, I think, is another one that is really elevated by great visuals. There are a lot of moments in this match that you could just sort of like freeze in time, and you could like tell a large story through that image, through, you know, someone's bloody face while they're selling someone in a stranglehold. Like, just a lot of, like, the camera work was great. I think that it really benefited, and 90s Joshi is actually really good at that a lot of the time. So particularly All Japan Women, so that match, it benefits from that. It's a brawl. It's immersive. I think, yeah, I kind of was kind of thinking, like, what do I want to say about this match? I just love it. Like, I don't really have a great, like, reason. It's just a great match. And I think,
I didn't have much to say. It was just,
this
is great. This is phenomenal.
This is a little bit like Kandori versus Hokuto from Dream Slam, which I think is the greatest match ever. It's a little bit like that. And the biggest payoff, the biggest selling, that it just, you get immersed in it. You get immersed in their hatred for one another, and you get lost in this really organic feeling story that they're telling through the match. It's not melodrama. It's a fight, and it feels like a fight from start to finish. And I don't want to take anything away from Bull Nakano, because Bull Nakano is to me the second best female wrestler of all time. I think Kandori is one to me, Bull's number two, and they're both, you know, right up there with the greatest ever. So I'm not just to make a gender distinction. I'm like, they are amongst the absolute greatest of all time and should be considered with them in my book. So this match is an all-time great to me. This is will show you what to like about both wrestlers. It has a amazing finish where it feels like Bull has to bring out everything she has. She has to basically try to kill Kandori to beat her. So it's a match that finishes with a really clear winner, but I don't think anybody loses in this match. You know, also the best two people tied together match I can think of. It's phenomenal. It's basically perfect to me. And I will say the only thing, I've seen people complain about the brawl in the crowd in this match. I think it's awesome. I think I'm okay with
it. It feeds off the unpredictability.
Yeah, well, there's the, like, people will oftentimes point, like, oh, they're just kind of like walking through the crowd. Like, one person's like leading another person through the crowd. Okay, fine. But they're also like tied together, right? It's, I think there's like a little bit of, I can do a little bit of, you know, justifying things in my own mind because I love it so much, and that's fine. But I also think there's some really cool moments in there where, like, Kandori fires back and kind of in the crowd, all you really see is her arm kind of go up and just come down on Bull's head, which just, again, visually is kind of cool. It's more the stuff you don't see in that's interesting and awesome than what you do. And I think you wouldn't get that without a few moments of crowd brawling to add to the chaos. But that, I just wanted to, because I do know that's a criticism some people have, I figure I might as well acknowledge it instead of just heaping praise on this match endlessly.
Five.
Full five for me. Unquestioned, you know, if this is like to the level where if I were to reevaluate my star ratings and knock almost everything down a quarter star, and be not as generous as I am sometimes, this would still be one of the few that I would keep at five.
I'm still generous and I give this five.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I mean, this is to me one of the top, I think I have this in my top 20 all time. I think this is perfect. Absolutely fantastic stuff.
That is something totally different. Guerrero Maya Jr. versus Virus. And Virus, I did a deep dive on DWE deep watches a couple weeks ago with Virus. And nice. Virus is great.
Yes.
Great, great back in his day, great for his age, just great overall. Mm-hmm. And he showcases it here. Absolutely. This is a Virus performance, unlike anything else. But Guerrero Maya Jr. holds up with him on his own as well. But the lucha grappling here is fantastic. I really like the interesting holds. It's just an interesting match, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's nothing I would put in my top 150 or anything like that, but really interesting match with like the grappling and stuff like that.
Yeah, I totally agree and think this is a great, if you want to see a different side of lucha, this is a different side to what we talked about earlier. This is the grappling. And this is also a really good example of like how good and tight quality lucha grappling can be while still being, lack of a better term, like fanciful, right? Like the holds are, like weirdly intricate and unique and like, but they're so cool. It reminds me a little more of like maybe World of Sport in terms of like binding people up.
Oh yeah. And I haven't seen much of World of Sport, so I'm looking forward to in this project just like diving in.
I think comparing like really top level lucha grappling and top level World of Sport grappling is kind of interesting. They're certainly not the same. There's a lot of differences, but there's some similar qualities in terms of flashiness and just intricacy of the holds. And I think you see that in especially the last hold in this that Virus wins with. But Virus is such an incredible technical wrestler. He is like so many elder statesmen in lucha. You look at him and he's clearly in good shape for his age, but you don't think he's going to be able to do what he ends up doing in the match. He's so flexible, so agile, and so strong. And he is a really, really great, great wrestler. And I think to your point, Guerrero Maya Jr. is no slouch in this. He holds up quite well and keeps up with him. I think all the submissions are really tight and also sort of have teeth to them, which I really like about this. I had seen this years and years ago, and I kind of came away with a better impression of it this time around. I liked it more, than I did in my original rating of it. So it got a little bit of a bump. But the thing about this, I think, is this is just really good patient escalation of a match. This is
patient escalation. I was about to say that because it just patiently escalates. The first fall was slow, feeling each other out, you know, and then second fall was like medium pace. Romero Jr. wins it, and then third fall they go a little more balls to the wall, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's an art when you see somebody build the tension and the pacing at this level, right, with this sort of precision. And I like that first fall is not a given, right? So like in the other Lucha match that we talked about, you know, Parada Morgan more or less dominates the first fall and gets the win, and it's, you know, no big deal, or doesn't feel like a big deal. There's a little bit more fighting in at the very end of that, but still he gets it. In this one, this is, you know, kind of back and forth a little bit, and there's some feeling out process, but that feeling out process is still with each person trying to get the pin or trying to get the submission. And the first fall comes like this. It's this weird pinning combination with a modified stretch muffler. I don't know how else to say it. I'm sure there's some.
I have no idea what called
the submission, but it was so cool. And I thought it was just really, really interesting. And then the second point, like you said, they kind of pick it up, but it's the moments, right? They, like this one tilt-a-whirl backbreaker from Guerrero Maya Jr. really stood out as like,
yeah, all right, that, now what, we're that gonna, was the moment he almost won with.
Yeah, it's like, now we're going to start hitting more impact moves. Now we're going to sprinkle in those impact moves with the submissions a little bit more. And you just can kind of feel the tension and the pace quicken a little bit. And of course he gets the second one with a submission. You know, one spot that I have to mention, I'm sure you wrote, jotted this down too, is that kind of run up the turnbuckle on the outside from Viros into the arm drag. It's incredible. I don't know how else to explain it. Sort of they're in this,
it's like running up, up the rope.
They're on the outside, and Guerrero Maya Jr. and Viros are sort of have arms locked, and Viros runs towards runs up the turnbuckle on the outside, and then jumps kind of over Guerrero Maya Jr.
They were like outside too. I remember that spot. That spot was insane.
Just and so fluid, like just such fluidity to what they're doing, but not. It doesn't look overly cooperative in this setting. And that's another thing I think is a real, real testament to both of them. So I thought this was absolutely incredible. And the first time I watched it, it was recommended to me as a match to like, here's a good way to get into Virus. And I was like, awesome, I'll do it. And I liked the match a lot. I think I had maybe around 4 stars the first time, but I wasn't quite convinced it was, you know, worthy of consideration and something like the Greatest Match Ever project. And I came away this time really getting it, getting why someone would see it that way. It's maybe a little bit outside of my real consideration for a list, but I understand completely why somebody would, and that it does some things, some aspects of wrestling about as well as any match ever. So great stuff. And again, To you want to like get into some Lucha submission stuff without
this is fantastic. 4.5.
This is it. I have a 4.5 too. I'm tempted to go 4.75, but I think it's really a 4.5-star match. Maybe if it had like 2 more minutes to it, I'd give it a little bit more. I felt like the end kind of hit me just a little before I wanted. I thought there was a little bit more meat on the bone, but. That's being super nitpicky with a match of this quality. So overall, fantastic physical storytelling in the confines of one match.
And then next episode, we have 2 Misawa Kawada matches, not the one that everyone knows. We have the 5-1-98 one and the 7-29-93 one, both from All Japan Pro Wrestling. We have another All Japan Pro Wrestling one. Satoshi Kojima versus Tenryu Genichiro. Okay. 7-17-2002. And then we have a little Rey Mysterio versus Loki. JAPW. 11/14/2015. That should be a good episode.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of All Japan and then switch it up to modern Rey Mysterio versus Loki, which I just saw that match maybe a year ago for the first time. So it'll be nice to take another look at that. It's really fun.
Plug Chug.
So, you know, as always, Twitter, at MarkOutMountain for me. And then the greatest match ever project is over at GWE. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. GWEprojects.freeforums.net. So you can think of it as greatest wrestling ever projects at freeforums.net. That's my stuff, man.
DJ D Kooks on Twitter, DJ D Kooky 43 on Instagram. That's where you can find me. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Podcast Network, socialsuplex.com, @socialsuplex on Twitter. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Good to talk to you again.